Well, Julia, it has not been the greatest 24 hours for Toronto sports in this city, I gotta say. You know, I want to say that it is unbelievable that we finally got a big day from Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the Grand Slam. He threw in a walk and a hit in there as well. So much slander for Vladdy, and a lot of it was deserved. Some of it for me, certainly, as well, so hand up on that. But the unfortunate reality is that it's not unbelievable, given what we've seen from the Jays, and today, what was a 6-1 lead turned into a 7-6 deficit, which eventually became an 11-8 loss in both this game and to unfortunately lose to the series in Washington, D.C. to the Washington Nationals.
This was such a weird game show from what we have become accustomed to seeing from these Blue Jays. The fact that they did break out and they did keep tacking on after a 5-run second inning and, you know, adding to the score, which is something that John Schneider has alluded to so many times throughout this young season here. It's when you get that big inning, keep tacking on those runs because you never know how many you're going to need. And then obviously you have Alek Manoah coming in, and we didn't really know what to expect from him. Yes, we were looking for certain things, and yes, he looked really good in his final rehab outing, but the fact is that no one really knew what to expect from Manoah in terms of stuff. And what we saw early on was a little discouraging, walking in a run in the first, very erratic with the fastball, and old concerns start creeping in. He settles in pretty nicely after that. We could see that the slider, the new shape of it, the fact that it's breaking a little bit more vertically than before, playing out nicely against this Nationals lineup for the most part. And then he loses it again. And the Blue Jays, even though they tacked on some runs and they were looking pretty good offensively in that, you know, making the most out of opportunities when they showed up, the pitching just couldn't get it done. And again, it goes back to where we thought that the depth would be for the Blue Jays when it comes to pitching and where it is now, and really what a difference a month or so makes here, show. So tough one, tough loss to take home or to take to Philly with them. But certainly some positives and some silver linings out of this one.
Boy, I'll tell you, I don't think people are ready to hear positives or silver linings today.
Tell me about it.
I gotta say, I'm like the king of moral victories, but I don't think we'll be seeing many of those today. I will say maybe the only one is Vladdy, but other than that, maybe not a lot. That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to Jays Talk, of course, live on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Also streaming on sportsnet.ca and the Sportsnet app. Give us a call. You can vent if you like, 416-870-0590, 1-888-660-590, *590 on your cell. But you guys know the drill. You keep it clean, but you can vent certainly to your heart's content. Text us as well, 590-590, name and location. The People's Text Line is always open. 8 runs and 10 hits for the Blue Jays today, something we had not seen in quite some time. And they lose, unfortunately. A large part of that, like you said, Jules, was Alek Manoah. So here's the final line for Manoah. 4 innings, 6 hits, 7 runs, 6 of them were earned, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts, and of those 6 earned runs, 7 overall, 2 home runs allowed. And it's funny because early on, I mean like the second batter of the game in CJ Abrams, that back foot slider looked nasty. And I thought to myself, gosh, like this looks great. He K's Nick Senzel. I was feeling good about the usage of the slider, which obviously is his most important pitch, as we know, especially to lefties like Abrams. But in that first inning, he also threw 29 pitches. Wasn't aided by a throwing error from Bo, who's really going through it right now. But he was also, like you said, having trouble locating the fastball. And I kind of thought in the second inning he was going to find these mechanics. He started to paint the edges and the corners of the zone, right? He was using the four-seamer and the sinker a little more consistently. And he actually got both Lipscomb and Young with sinkers, both caught looking too. So they watched those things sails by, but fourth inning runs into some trouble. I didn't hate the location on I think it was Luis Garcia Jr.'s single. It was right at the bottom of the zone. Maybe you can attribute that more to a good piece of hitting from Garcia than a bad pitch from Manoah. But everything after that was poor, right? The pitch to Senzel was not well located, and then he threw a bad pitch to Winker. It was a middle slider, and then he jacks this 3-run bomb, and now a 6-1 lead is a 7-6 deficit. So when you look at the overall, and then he didn't come back out. He got the final out of the fourth inning, didn't come back out. The day was done. I think we can say overall, obviously not great, but it turned from, hey, this looks promising, to, well, he's clearly not ready. And you're left with more questions than answers. And I see a lot of text here on the text line about the decision-making process to leave him in there in the fourth inning. And I think it's a valid question. Like, I admit, I thought when Senzel got aboard with two outs, I think there were runners on second and third at that point after Senzel got aboard, Jules. I thought Schneider was going to come get him. Bullpen be damned, mainly because even with a tough series against the Phillies and a very beleaguered bullpen, there's an off day tomorrow. So you don't, like, you can kind, don't really have to worry as much as we know, but it's just the other half of it with runners on second and third, with even with two outs. I mean, how confident does anyone really feel right now, which is a whole other separate problem? How confident do you feel in any of Nate Pearson, Yennis Cabrera, or Eric Swanson, who got hit for a home run today? Right. So I don't know. I don't know if I would have been all that comfortable. It just seems that scenario, runners on second and third, two outs, Manoa struggling, it seemed to largely be pick your poison. Even I know Nate Pearson came out and retired right. The next three batters, but that was with a clean inning and not with runners on.
Yeah, with the day off tomorrow, show, I would agree with you that maybe the leash should have been a little bit shorter because, again, Manoa is unproven right now. We don't know what to expect of him, and there is no built-up trust that he can come out of sticky situations. Not even in most of his rehab starts so far this season. We have not seen that ability to really get out of trouble and minimize damage. So perhaps with the off day kind of giving the Blue Jays a little bit more flexibility to use the bullpen as they can or as they should, the leash should have been a bit shorter for Alek Manoa. That said, with the way that the bullpen has been performing, I don't necessarily, you know, blame this entirely on Schneider to maybe see what Manoa has to offer. And the fact that this is a pretty taxed bullpen as it is because of how things have gone for the Blue Jays and because the number five starter has not gone super deep into games at any point this year. So you are seeing a bullpen that has been overused so far this season. But this was a moment in which, you know, the Blue Jays could have utilized their pitching a little bit more strategically and less just reactively, let's put it like that. We spoke about this pre-game show, and I will repeat it here. Every game matters right now. Yeah. And when the Blue Jays have that kind of a lead and an opportunity to hold it a little bit longer, you have to do what is, you know, statistically or even, you know, just gut-wise, what you feel like will be the best move to keep that lead. And I don't see how that would have been keeping Alek Manoa in that game based on what he has shown us this year and last year.
Oh man, the Manoa stuff is so tough, right? Because I had thrown out this out last week and I kind of thought to myself, and you and I were talking about this during the game after Manoa was out, but I kind of thought to myself there was a chance that Berríos would pitch today. And then you just skip the fifth start essentially because, you know, Weyrod is not ready with the spine inflammation. Francis is on the IL, not a lot of other long guys to also complement the bullpen, which, like you just outlined, is struggling right now, not only with players not playing all that well, but also other guys who are injured, like Jimmy Garcia still dealing with some back tightness and Chad Green still on the IL. So, I don't know. It's just, I kind of thought to myself, you can, in theory, skip the fifth start and make Alek Manoa force the issue in the minors, and they clearly decided that was not where they wanted to go, and I mean, yeah, sure. The last rehab start, like you mentioned earlier, 12 strikeouts, one earned run, I think, was, that's obviously some, those are some gaudy numbers and makes you feel good about it. But he'd also kind of ping ponged between good start, but really bad start, essentially, even in the minors. So I already wasn't in love with the decision to bring Alek Manoa back up. Also because, like, I'm genuinely not sure what the future holds for Alek Manoa. And I think you have seen in the past pitchers, I'm not saying collapse mentally necessarily, but, you know, this guy already has had a really tough last year. He goes down, he called back up, and then had a really bad back half of the season. Because if you remember, he got called back up right before the All-Star break. He got called back up, played okay against the Tigers, and then after the All-Star break, it was not great. And then this year, you got him called back up seemingly too soon. I don't know if there was a single person, whether it was fans or the media, who said, yeah, great, like, great to get Manoa into a game. And then you kind of got a result that seemed relatively predictable. I don't even think that's hindsight. Like, I really do feel that most people thought that. So I don't know. I genuinely hope this means it's not the end for him.
Right.
But I do wonder what's next now, right? Like, there's 2 days off here. There's a day off tomorrow, there's a day off on Thursday. So in theory, you could finagle it to skip the next start if you really wanted to, if you feel he's not ready. That might be the way to go if you're not super confident. The next team I think he would be lined up to face are the Twins at the Rogers Center. I mean, the Twins are not, I don't know, they're not exactly the hardest hitting team in the world, but they're also not playing that badly right now. I don't know if you really want to risk it.
They're killing it right now. Yeah. They're doing very well. They were in a historic win streak, and I don't know if that's still going on, but it's pretty impressive to see, and you're absolutely right. Do you want to have a guy like Manoah, who, again, is still building up, and he seems like his confidence is not all the way there either. You see early in the game when he is having success, it's because the mechanics are clean.
Yeah.
It's because he is, sticking with his delivery through and through, and then he gets into trouble and that kind of gets away from him and the delivery gets messy. The mechanics kind of go out the door, and you can see that there's a distraction there because he's getting into trouble. So until he can figure that out, I don't see how there is going to be a clear path for him to stick with this team, which is very, very unfortunate because we know how talented he is. But he's pressing, and until he can figure that part out, the Blue Jays would probably be better off sending him down to the minors to work on his stuff. And yeah, if you have to skip a start here, if you have to ask your starters to forego an off day, this might be the best way to go, especially with where the standings are right now.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's get to your calls. Russ in New Jersey, start us off here.
I'm happy I didn't drive to the game because here in Jersey I was going to drive to Washington.
You go to a lot of games, Russ. You go to a lot of games, so it's probably the right move, I think.
Yeah, and I just came back from game 6 from flying to the Leafs, so okay. I said I'm not going to go with the weather. I'll be there for Philly, but listen, this team is just not a good baseball team. Let's today could be Manoah, and yeah, 2 days ago was the bullpen, and last week was the offense, and for most of the season it's been the offense. You're 16-19. You're in a very tough division. You're Baltimore. I still don't know how good the Yankees are, but I know Baltimore's an excellent team. You know, the Red Sox are playing better. You know, we didn't expect much from them, and Tampa is up, sitting down with us, but this team's just not a very good baseball team. I'll make another comment. Bo Bichette looks like he has no interest in being here. He comes to the plate. He swung it every time the first pitch today, I think. I don't think he let a first pitch go by without swinging. And I'm not saying he's always been an aggressive hitter, but he just doesn't look like he's interested in being here. I think there's going to be a big fire sale come summer. And, Ross Atkins it's not the manager anymore. He's had every opportunity. He had Gibbons. He got rid of him. He brought in someone else. Now he's brought in Schneider. He's had his opportunity. I called probably the fourth or fifth game of the year, and I said, this offense is horrible.
Yeah.
And I know we scored 8 today, so it's not the right day to call. But they're just not good, and they're not a good baseball team. And, I think there's going to be a lot of empty seats. The stadium's nice, but I think come, August, I saw the stadium. I'm not going to watch a team 15 games under 500.
Hey, Russ, thanks for the call, man. You're probably not wrong, honestly. If things continue going this way, if Blair's like, show, we need you guys to do a couple more Jays talk every week. Wouldn't be surprised. Honestly, I wouldn't blame him either.
Yeah.
It's true. First of all, I don't think it's that he's not interested. I really, truly believe, and maybe this is the eternal optimist, but I truly believe it's just he's pressing so much that it's starting to affect his ABs.
Right.
And we saw yesterday, like the guy got ejected yesterday, and I still think that was the dumbest thing ever, but just he got ejected and he was frustrated. Like, he took his helmet off, he chucks it on the ground, and he's like pissed off essentially, right? And today does not look pleased. There was a shot on TV, actually, Julie. I'm not sure if you saw it, but there was an extended shot. I didn't hear what the TV call was saying with Dan and Joe. But the shot was of Bo just like looking off into like a 1,000-yard stare, just like looking off into the distance in the dugout. And I have no idea what he was contemplating in that moment, but I don't know. He almost looked like he was contemplating like retirement or something, right? Or his own mortality. It's just he really seems like he is pressing. And with today's performance, he's now batting under 200 again, 197. That is atrocious. And again, I tend to believe it will even out, but good heavens, Bo is really going through it.
I'll tell you this, show. Chris LaRue sort of mentioned it during the broadcast as well, and I kind of agree with him. This is probably the first time in Bo's career that he has been through this much of an extended slump. And this is also, you know, you talk about these guys kind of graduating from promising young players to bona fide major leaguers. For sure, that is where the core of Blue Jays players is right now. But there is a lot that you can learn when you struggle. And Bichette has just never really gone through that at this level and for this long. So is it tough right now? It absolutely is. And I would be pressing too. I mean, any one of us would be. If, you know, you're underperforming at your job for this long, it does get to you. And there's no way that he's not feeling the pressure right now. And it becomes harder and harder to sort of look at each at bat as an opportunity rather than, you know, going in there with something to prove.
Right.
But there are good takeaways from this, and he will come out on the other side of it. So, and he'll be a better ball player for it. So again, maybe this is me looking at the positive a little bit too much, but struggling is a part of this game. And how to struggle is a lesson that you can only really learn while you're going through it. So no one believes that Bo Bichette is going to struggle forever. That is not who he is. But he may need to get out of his own way a little bit. And if we are seeing it, you know, through a screen, that it seems like he is not really mentally all there right now when he goes up to the plate, I can only imagine what kind of turmoil is going on in his head and in the clubhouse as well, because he's not the only one who's struggling. I do, however, maintain that this can be a valuable opportunity for him to learn how to go through these moments and become a better ball player for it.
I certainly hope so. Because here's the other thing. I mean, if this continues, and he's had, I think, two seasons where he's led the AL in hits, I think, so... You know, there's probably always going to be some team out there that thinks he has value, but I mean, it's not only about trying to help the Blue Jays. You got to think he is also thinking, and I'm sure this is contributing to whatever he's dealing with, but he's thinking to himself, like, gosh, I need to play for a giant contract in the not too distant future. And if I continue to do this, it's going to tank my value, right? And you might be going from, I don't know, like $150 million, $200 million to way less than that for a shortstop, like a guy who plays a premium position who's not so bad defensively. I know it's a bad day to say that because he made a bad throwing error in the first inning, but generally speaking, in the last couple of years, he's been fine defensively at the very least, and a guy who's been a real terror offensively, and then not at all this year. I won't even say like kind of, not at all this year so far. So that's really tough. Let's go back to the phones. Let's continue with Jay in Innisfil. Jay, what's on your mind?
Oh, hey, guys. I'm not going to get specific because a lot of that's been covered. So I'm just going to go general. And from a general standpoint, it's not just the team that's struggling. It's the entire organization. From the decisions made by the president to the general manager to the coaching staff, and of course it goes down to the players. We are seeing two teams today that were bad. We all knew the Nats were bad, even though they had a good record in the Grapefruit League. And the Blue Jays were supposed to be good, but today we saw two bad teams, not just today, this whole weekend. We've seen base running errors. I know Schneider was safe at third, but you don't try stealing third base with two outs. We saw Danny Jansen messing up on the hesitation of the bunt. That could have been a communication error. We've seen errors, other base running errors. We've seen roster mistakes, like bringing up Manoa. That was a mistake. Me and my buddies all said, nope, too early. Four starts in AAA, one good one, three bad ones, not ready. Maybe a bullpen day today with an off day tomorrow. You know, Vogelbach being on the team, I think that's a roster mistake. Coaching errors, having Clement sit while Turner's playing third base. It just, there's a whole bunch of things going wrong. And just as the team isn't as bad as they're playing, is the organization as bad as they've been running this actual team? And the answer is we don't know. We have to see. But it's very possible that all these mistakes that have been happening are coming from the top, filtering down, and it's a big problem. And I'll make a little joke just before I sign off, and I want to hear your comments. I heard a few a while ago the Maple Leafs took some batting practice, and Austin Matthews, I heard, hit a home run. Now, he's available. Maybe we could put him on the roster instead of Vogelbach. couldn't do as bad, and it would definitely put a little bit more people in the seats. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Austin Matthews, unfortunately, is available these days. Jay, appreciate the call. I actually did see that. I think I was there for the batting practice when the Leafs were there. I forgot how long ago it was, but I was there for that. I actually was there for Josh Allen hitting batting practice, like Bills quarterback Josh Allen. And they both hit some dingers. Jay's not wrong. Couldn't be that, but that much worse. And
Blue Jays have some options here.
Oh, boy. I agree. I mean, Jay's right. The Jays are not supposed to be worse than the Nationals. The Nationals are, like, generally speaking, considered one of the worst teams in baseball.
Right.
But the Nationals also did something to the both of these guys' last couple points here. The Nationals also did something that probably helped, to a certain extent, jumpstart what could be a rebuild. We'll see where the Nationals are in a couple of years. It takes a while for these things to take, but they traded Juan Soto. They traded Juan Soto, and CJ Abrams was a part of that haul. So was Mackenzie Gore. James Wood, which is one of their, he might be their top prospect. And I think in all of baseball, MLB Pipeline, Baseball America, et cetera, ESPN, whatever, all these different sites have him as a top five or top 10 prospect. And he's like the left-handed hit Aaron Judge or whatever. Like, these are the guys they got back. I know people are like, oh, it's time to trade Vladdy. It's time to trade Bo. It's time to fire sale. It's time to rebuild. And you know what? It might be, truly, but I'm not sure you're going to get those kinds of prospects at this point. Like, it kind of reminds me, Julia, of the conversation we've been having with the Raptors in the last couple of years. Because last year, the conversations were Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster should have traded Pascal Siakam when there was still a little more time in the contracts. They should have traded Fred VanVleet. He ends up leaving for nothing. OG should have been traded prior. And yes, those guys got traded, not VanVleet, but OG and Siakam got traded this year, this past season. And they did a good job in terms of getting assets back. But I think the general consensus was in both cases, they got way fewer assets back than they would have had they traded them last year. And I think that's kind of where we're at. Like, we're kind of there. Like, maybe you still do eventually go and trade Vladdy and Bo and these guys, but boy, it's like you're certainly not. I'm not saying you're getting pennies on the dollar, but you're not getting the full value you would have gotten.
Yeah, it's hindsight is tough, right, Shobi? I do think that there is a little bit of a ticking clock now, and obviously we hear that from coaches and in management, even with John Schneider being very honest about that in recent days. Of, you know, the time is now. This is the time to turn things around and really pile up some wins here and make this division competitive again for the Blue Jays, but if that doesn't happen, then yeah, maybe it does start a little bit of a clock for the Blue Jays when it comes to this particular core and what they are trying to do. I don't think anyone, you know, last year or even starting this year would have been certain in saying that this was it and it was time to rebuild. Obviously not an ideal start to the season, but we do understand why this core is getting another chance here, because there is talent in place and there were additions, albeit, you know, fringe additions to this roster that, you know, the Blue Jays believed that it would take them to a little bit of a higher level when it comes to performance. Hasn't worked out like that holistically, even though you point to a guy like Justin Turner and you can obviously see his contributions so far. So, you know, the additions were there. The talented core was in place. There was so much talk about what this team would do in order to optimize its offense coming in. No one expected pitching all of a sudden to be a disadvantage, even though the top four starters are still performing pretty well.
Right.
But we didn't really expect the pitchers to struggle to the level that they have, the bullpen especially, and that big question mark that is the number five rotation spot. It's tough to say or to pinpoint, right, on a calendar, when is it that it's time to start a rebuild, or even to look back and say, well, this should have been the time to start a rebuild. That is a little bit of revisionist history, even if we start to go down that route.
People were saying that last year, though.
How many people were saying that?
A lot.
Was that a real thing?
I'm not saying the media, but I'm just saying here on Jay's Talk.
Really?
Because you and I didn't do a lot of Jay's Talks last year.
Right on.
But with Ben, lot of rebuild calls last year. Let me put
it that
way.
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah.
So the fan base was convinced of that even last
year. Especially towards the end of the year, I think. Like, when the issues with the offense, and it's like, oh, pitching and defense, great, but run prevention, but like offense and so on. Towards the end of that year, let me tell you, we got a lot of those calls. And I combated those calls. I did. I admit I did, but
That surprises me a little bit, because, you know, you look at last year, Yes, there were moments in which the Blue Jays looked completely out of place, but for most of the year, that was a contending team. The start to the season wasn't nearly as bad as it was this year, and they did seem to have, you know, at least a few things going their way in keeping their head above water in the contention window, which is not necessarily something that we can say for them so far this season. So it does surprise me that you guys got that many calls about that. I would still be I would be loath to look at a calendar and say, okay, this would be the point rebuild should have happened or should happen. And I don't know how where you fall in this category here, show
of, like, of rebuilding.
Well, yeah, like from last year to this year. And do you think that there is also sort of a ticking clock right now for the Blue Jays when it comes to that?
Yeah, I think it's time, honestly. I honestly think it's time. I think it's time to tear it down. And here's the problem with that, though.
Man.
The problem with it is that, A, you're not going to get the value, I think, that you would have gotten, like a Juan Soto deal or any other, honestly, both Juan Soto deals. The Juan Soto deal that sent him to Washington and the Juan Soto deal from San Diego that sent him, from Washington to San Diego and then from San Diego to New York. I don't think you'd get the value for really any of these guys. Maybe Bo, maybe. Yeah, they're relatively young. The youth probably helps a little bit, but gosh, it's just, I'm not sure you get the value back in the sense that it would help jumpstart a rebuild, right? And I think the other half of rebuilds these days, because people are like, oh, do what the Orioles did, right? The Orioles, A, lost 100-plus games for multiple years, and at the time, the draft was different.
Right.
Now there's a lottery. There's an actual lottery, like in the NHL and the NBA. So now it's even tougher to rebuild that way. You could be like the worst team in baseball and still not, in theory, get the number one overall pick, right?
Absolutely.
So I just, but on the other hand, like, what choice do they have? Only because if they think, and there's no way to know this, but if they think they're not going to re-sign Bo or Vladdy, then you're going to be in an even worse position if they leave for nothing, right? So it has to at least be a conversation. Let's go to the phones. Let's continue taking some phone calls from, I know, a very irate fan base. Adam in Mississauga joining us here on JSOC. Now, Adam, I see a lot of text on the text line about John Schneider and the job he has done, or maybe more specifically has not done this year. And I know you want to talk about that as well.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm not someone who usually like blames the manager. I think it's on the athletes to perform. But sometimes I just wonder, like, are we watching the same game? And this is going back to last year. Schneider's just running out the same lineup every day. You know, I'm a Springer fan, but he should not be leading off. And I think it's clear to everybody that Swanson is struggling. Why is he going in on a close game? And, you know, even at the end of the game, when it looks like the Jays might do something, Vogelback is picking up a bat, might come up if a runner gets on. Why? He's only got 4 hits. Like, are we watching the same game here? I honestly don't get it. You know, you can only try the same thing so many times before you say, hey, it's not working. And I know there's a lot of talent here, and everyone's kind of waiting for, you know, Springer, Bo, Vladdy to kind of get it going. But at some point, you got to make some kind of changes. Like, am I wrong here?
No, Adam, I don't think you're wrong. Honestly, I don't think you're wrong. And thank you for the call. I think it is? I actually said this about Sheldon Keefe, too. It's kind of depressing to have these conversations about multiple Toronto teams. But
I'm sorry, Sho.
But, you know, I'd said earlier today, actually, with Raj and Jesse on Sportsnet today, I'd said that I don't even think Sheldon Keefe's a bad coach, but that he's got to go. Like, it's time for a change, right? It's time for a change. And John Schneider has been the manager of the Blue Jays far fewer years than Sheldon Keefe has been the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But the only reason I make that comparison is I think the easiest domino to make fall at this point in the season, beyond a massive trade for Vladdy or Bo or something like that, the easiest domino to fall, and I think the easiest domino that will always be the easiest one to, like, press the button on, pull the trigger for, is to fire the manager.
Right.
Right? The problem is, and I've said this many times, I don't really think a lot of the decision-making comes from John Schneider. I think it does come from Ross Atkins. But the problem is, let's say you do fire John Schneider. Let's just say, like, for the sake of this conversation, to appease the fan base and to, because maybe they think it'll be a shakeup, and you fire Schneider and you give the reins to Don Mattingly or DeMarlo Hale or one of these guys. The truth is, and I think, I forget, might have been Russ who mentioned this, one of our other callers, but if you fire the manager and you're Ross Atkins, like, your own job security is kind of in doubt, right? Yeah. Like, he already essentially dismissed Gibby when they came into to Toronto, right? And I think you were saying that I think there was 1 year left on the deal when Gibby, so he was essentially paid to not be in Toronto, right? They bring in Charlie Montoyo, they fire Charlie Montoyo, they bring in John Schneider, and then you, in theory, are going to fire John Schneider? You're not going to, like, how many general managers, I don't have the stats in front of me, but how many general managers get the chance to hire, like, a fourth manager? Let's say, even if you're conservatively, don't count Gibby, and you call it three. How many general managers really get a chance to hire your third manager?
Right.
Not many, I would wager.
That would be such a bad move in my mind. First of all, this is, you know, John Schneider is here for a reason. He has made his way up with this team, and he is clearly very savvy, and he is a young guy who has maybe new ideas that will take a little bit to implement, but he has the familiarity with this group of players. He clearly can communicate with the guys. And in my mind, you know, is he doing a perfect job? No. Is this record his fault? No, I don't believe that it is. Yes, he has, you know, made some questionable calls when it comes to roster construction and bullpen management. And you can look at every single manager in Major League Baseball and find those questionable decisions. I don't think that a single manager is going to escape that kind of micro look at their work. But at the end of the day, there are a lot more people working for this organization and making decisions than just John Schneider. Not only the optics of it would be so bad, yeah. I do believe that with this group of players who have seen Charlie Montoyo come in and then John Schneider come in, it would be bad for them too, for their development, for them, for their continuity. So,
but how much worse could it possibly be? Honestly, that's an honest question. It can get that much worse.
Well, in that case, then just start the rebuild,
right?
In my mind, because it's you're right, Sho. It's the easiest thing to do in these situations is to fire the manager, but you have to consider the ripple effects here and what that tells, what that says about this group of players, about this front office, about the organization. I don't think it's as clear cut as that. And, you know, I would be very cautious to move with something like that if I was this front office, just because of everything that we have seen so far in recent years.
Let's squeeze one more call in before we take our break. We've got a long first segment here, but let's get to Mike in Richmond Hill joining us here on Jay's Talk. Mike, I see you do not agree with John Schneider being the first person being fired.
To be on high show, thanks for taking my call. I think the general manager should be fired as well, and I'll tell you why. He said on several occasions that this offense is fine. This offense is not fine, and something has to be done, and I agree with the last caller. I think some changes have to be made, and this can't continue, or else this team's going to be out of it by the end of May. I just wanted to get your opinion on that. What do you think that should be done? But I think he didn't try hard enough to try get another bat in here, and that's just my thoughts. So I'll hang up and I'll listen to your thoughts. Thanks, Joe.
Hey, Mike, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for joining us on Jay's Talk. You know, there's a lot of actually textuals. We haven't gone to the text line. I just wanted to read these ones that I think echo Mike's feelings. Josh in Saskatchewan says, hey, Show, I believe the Jays need to rebuild, but I don't trust Atkins is the guy to oversee it. JJ in Toronto, the fans want the rebuild because we are stuck in the fuzzy middle with GM. We don't have the GM who has done anything to put the finishing touches on this team despite needing additions. We don't need a rebuild. There was another one there's no actual name on this one, but I think the point is remains. How much longer do we have to wait before someone higher up decides that Shapiro and Atkins need to go? I don't want them on the reins of this team before making the big moves for a rebuild. So I don't want them trading Bo, Vladdy, or anyone else. And a lot of texts like that, right? So I'm not sure. Like, I think the caller's right in that there probably is going to be a change sooner rather than later. And I think they've had a relatively long time at the helm. And I don't know. I don't even think that's necessarily a Toronto-specific thing. Like, you've seen other teams in many sports make changes like that for, I think, even worse stretches,
yeah.
Really, right? You know, the Blue Jays have made the playoffs a lot, and they've won 89 to 90 games a lot as well. But it doesn't really mean a lot if you don't accomplish
right.
anything with those results. So you've seen other teams make changes for worse, essentially. So I think there probably will be a change coming. It's just, if you fire your GM mid-season, I've always wondered, and I don't really think there's a real answer to this question, just like wondering out loud. Like I wonder what effect that actually has. Like if you, like let's say this conversation, you can Atkins and you give James Click the job. Will it really change the Blue Jays in 2024? It might not, but then again, maybe a lot of the people calling in, texting in think that's not really the point. Maybe It is about next year at this point.
Yeah. Am I against Ross Atkins still being here? No, I understand that there's some value in, you know, letting a guy sort of play out his vision and trusting his vision, which obviously the Blue Jays did. And there's something to be said about continuity and let's build something here. But the truth is that whatever it is that the Blue Jays were building, it doesn't seem to be working with how this division is and with how the team is playing even. So, you know, I can't say that I blame fans and callers for calling for a change there. And to your point, Sho, that maybe this isn't about the 2024 season. It is very much about what comes after that and the many decisions that lie ahead in a team that, you know, still has a lot of talent, not only on the major league squad, but also coming up through the minors. There's still some talent here that could contribute as early as this year and sort of continue this team on a winning trajectory, which sure, we haven't seen a bunch of this year, but I still believe that the Blue Jays are a winning team, even in 2024, even if they are underperforming right now, the numbers tend to even out. However, even when the numbers even out for this squad, I don't think that just with the way that the AL East works, that this is a playoff team, unfortunately, because talent is there, but they have been underperforming for too long. So I will say I understand fans sort of clamoring for a change higher up and maybe a different set of eyes, a different vision for this team moving forward. I don't think necessarily that it would do anything or course correct at this point to fire the GM, let alone fire the manager. Just don't think that's where we're at.
That is Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. We're going to take a break, step aside here, get back to the text line, certainly on the other side, 590-590, name and location. If there's time, we will get to your calls as well, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. On your cell, you're listening to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You know, I thought his stuff was really good. I thought his first two innings were really good, second inning, obviously, and then kind of lost his own a little bit. The handful of walks hit by pitch, and then a couple mistakes up in the zone. But I think to his credit, battled out of some jams, and definitely a good first step to hopefully get a little bit better.
That is John Schneider discussing Alek Manoah after four innings of 7 runs, 6 earned run ball today. Not exactly what you want to hear. At the same time, John Schneider is probably never going to come out and like body someone in the media, but I don't know. He's never done that, so I'm not super surprised. But at the same time, I still have some questions as to whether or not, like, certainly about Manoah's outing, Julia, but just generally speaking, what the next step is for Manoah, because it's kind of very like whelming, right? maybe underwhelming actually is more appropriate, honestly, in this particular situation. But he's not wrong in that there were some promising moments, but the outing was not so great. And I'm not sure you can really count on promising individual moments to buoy you to a next start. So maybe Manoah starts the next time out for the Jays. Maybe he's back in Buffalo.
Yeah, not at this point. You can't really count on moments or flashes of what can be, not with what the Blue Jays are trying to accomplish. Not with the fact that, you know, the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Yankees keep finding out ways to win. It's tough to ask a guy to come back up and figure out his stuff on the fly when the team actually cares about winning every single night. I would say that it's different with a team like the Nationals, who don't necessarily expect to make the playoffs, and if they do, it'll be a bonus. So you can ask their guys who are struggling to figure things out a little bit more. That's certainly true for Eddie Rosario, Show, who, you know, got a massive break today.
Oh my gosh.
And hit that homer and who had a pretty good series.
The guy's batting like 100.
That's right.
That's his batting average.
That's right. And he had a good series. So that really tells you where the Blue Jays pitching kind of was throughout this weekend in Washington.
I want to get to a couple of things here. So certainly welcome you back to Jays Talk. Sho and Julia here until the top of the hour. I wanted to get to a couple of things with you. about the offense, and there was a text. I kind of lost it because there were a lot of texts coming in, but there was a text about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and how, here it is. Peter in Woodstock. At least the Vladdy haters can't pin this loss on Vlad today. Yeah, he's, I mean, it's true, right?
Gotta agree with that.
He demolishes an 87-mile-an-hour poorly located changeup from Mackenzie Gore. A grand salami. That's exactly what you want to see, right? The AB2, he gets ahead 2-0 in the count. Doesn't swing on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, like right down the middle. He probably thinks you want that back. And then he swings that, and I'm going to use air quotes here, his pitch.
Right on.
Immediately afterwards. So that's the eye from Vladdy you want to see combined with all the, I know people hate all the metrics of the hit speed and the bat speed and stuff, but that's what you want to see from Vladdy. So
sure.
I do hope we see that more. Davis, Schneider in the bottom of the order. So this was the order today, right? Schneider 5, Varsho 6, Kirk 7, IKF 8, Clement 9. They pretty much all hit well.
Yeah,
today.
Schneider had a tremendously good game.
Yeah, Schneider was great. IKF looked like he was feeling
fantastic.
It at the plate. Kirk had a stand-up double and a walk. So once again, like a large part of the conversation doesn't really focus on those guys because we don't really have to focus it on those guys. It's the stars. And today really wasn't even the top three. It was really just Springer and Bo you needed more from.
Yeah, it's really, really cool to see sort of the contributions from the bottom of this lineup. And the Blue Jays continue vote of trust on Davis Schneider. Sort of paying off, right? This is a guy that is very clearly a great hitter and who is walking towards a great start to his career here with the Blue Jays. His game today was just phenomenal. He did pretty much everything you could have asked of him. And, you know, the Blue Jays capitalized on that even a couple of times, especially with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa coming in at the bottom of that order and contributing the way that he did. It was really, really impressive to see. John Schneider usually says that IKF is a very useful player because he can help the team win in a lot more ways than just one. But today he did, you know, he contributed in the main way, show, which is he was just hitting and just tremendously good pieces of hitting for IKF, not trying to do too much and just cashing in those runs.
Based on that conversation, if you had to remake the top four, and again, I've said this many times, I don't really think I'm a huge batting order guy in terms of it being a huge difference maker, but when Bo and Springer are hitting the way they are, it will eventually turn in the negative sense. So if you had to remake the top four, and today I guess it was, let's see, it was Springer, Vladdy, Turner, Bo, I think is what it was today, right? And yesterday, Varsho was batting second, Bo was batting fifth. But I think they clearly have demonstrated they're not willing to do this. But if Springer would move out of the top four, I think Vladdy and Turner you can keep in the top four. I think generally speaking, you'd be okay with that. Maybe Varsho, especially against righties, because he's lefty bat. Against righties, maybe keep him in the top four. Against lefties, maybe not. But who do you bat leadoff? Like let's just say if it's Vladdy, Turner, Varsho for now. 2-3-4 against right-handed pitchers. Who bats leadoff if it's not Springer? Like Davis Schneider? IKF? Like who is it if it's not Springer, honestly?
Why not Ernie Clement?
Sure, okay. He's a contact hitter.
He has a little bit of a knack for getting on base. He doesn't strike out a whole lot and could give the Blue Jays a little bit of a better chance to capitalize on those early runs. We're not saying that we, you know, expect Ernie Clement to hit 50 leadoff home runs or whatever, but, you know, he is someone that I would say could factor into this conversation. Even Dalton Varsho, if he continues to hit the way that he is right now and to get on base and to do different things for the Blue Jays, he's proven himself to be such a good base runner. Maybe let him bat lead off for a little bit. I don't think that there's a right or a wrong answer here, Sho. You know, if Bo was a little bit in a better groove right now, I would even say maybe give it a try to have him bat lead off. It's really an imperfect guessing game here.
Before we go, we heard from John Schneider talking about Manoa. Let's hear from Manoa himself.
Yeah, I don't think it was a control thing. I think, you know, it was kind of just me trying to hit an outside corner, you know, just trying to be too fine, you know, and understanding, you know, I mean, I'm not Greg Maddux. I'm not going to be Greg Maddux. You know, fastball's got great life and just got to go out there and trust it, you know, and sometimes, you know, just understanding that, you know, I'm going to have to come at him at some point. So let's do it 0-0 and, you know, in our advantage and not let them get an advantage counts.
I'll say this, that does not, at the very least, a glimmer of positivity does not sound like a guy who is like mentally broken or anything.
Right,
because he was really down in the dumps when he had bad outings in the last year and the minors and so on. So maybe that is a positive to take away. Having said that, I would maybe skip his next start, let him work on those things in Buffalo and not with the major leagues. But that is something positive. Julia, this was a lot of fun.
Always.
We are back next weekend?
I don't think I'll see you for a little bit.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, until then, hope you have a survive until we see each other again.
Thank you so much. That's really all we can hope for, and I really appreciate it. Always fun to do this with you.
That's Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. Quickly, Sheena in Regina, Saskatchewan, the winner of our Danny Jansen bundle, will be giving away a lot more. Thanks to Tom Young. He's the guy why we get all of these giveaways. Thanks to Tom. Appreciate you all being with us here on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by your local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Stephenville and Grand Falls, Windsor, Newfoundland. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection. For Julia, for Eric Smith, Chris LaRue, Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, I'm Sho. A rare Monday off day tomorrow. You can't lose the off day. And as Blair says, we get to do it over again on Tuesday. We'll talk to you later.